So a few days ago, I mentioned that Luke and Acts of the Apostles have the same author, and they have similar story structures and similar purposes, but the way that Luke writes them is very similar to the pattern in which God functions, which is he wants to reveal a certain thing, but then when it happens in a different circumstance, it's not quite the same. So, of course, the disciples in today's gospel, they now come back after being scattered. Yesterday we heard the story of the road to Emmaus. They're running away, they're walking away in sadness and despair. Their expectations of what Jesus would be as a Messiah have been shattered. And Jesus' whole point to them is, your expectations were wrong expectations. And he reveals to them that the Messiah must suffer and die, and that any delusion otherwise is folly. And of course, I pointed out yesterday that for them, it's much more forgivable than for us. If we think that suffering and difficulties are things that we don't have to face, then we have not been listening to Jesus at all. And we need to repent. And so when Jesus encounters these disciples, he opens their eyes through the breaking of the bread, which is a not-so-subtle way of the early church saying, encounter him in the weekly celebration of the Lord's resurrection every Sunday as we break bread at the altar. It takes several centuries for us to call it the Mass, but that's exactly what they're talking about. The synthesis, the re-encounter, the re-experiencing of the recreation of the world in Christ, in his resurrection, as the eighth day has come into full circle. All of these elements are incorporated into our Christian life. And so the disciples then are now given an opportunity in today's gospel to encounter that Jesus is not a spirit, that the resurrection of the body has happened, that our humanity in its entirety has been restored, and that heaven will involve eating, drinking, and being merry. That it is not antibody, not antibodies like in your biology, but antibody in the sense that the body is somehow worthless. And because Christians forgot this, we had also gotten in a number of other, screwed up scenarios in modernity. One of the most easy is for us to think that God is not concerned with people's physical well-being, sexual well-being, emotional well-being. He's interested in it all and wants to bind it all together. That is the mission that Jesus fulfills. That is the mission to which we must now be witnesses. The very mission of Jesus is predicated on the fact that he comes from the Father, that he shares in the Father's life, that before creation began, he was with the Father. This means that before the Big Bang, 16 billion years ago, Christ was with the Father. And when he comes to earth, he tells us from his own intimate experience of who God is, and he reveals God by dying for us, just as the Father lays down his life for the Son. And now when Jesus sends his disciples, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so when you get in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke deliberately parallels the miracles of Jesus to the work of the church, so that we know that the same Spirit that animated Jesus, that moved him, that sent him, the Holy Spirit of God, who is a different person than Jesus, is now operating in the church, with a few subtle differences. The most notably, human stupidity, human poverty. Jesus chooses to embrace human poverty. He chooses to embrace the lack of complete omnipresence of mind that the human mind has by assuming a human mind. This is Christology that we'll develop later on. But when he gives the Spirit of God to humanity, he gives the very Spirit that raises the dead, that heals the sick, that forgives sins, that can turn the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ into inferior human vessels. Which is why with the Last Supper, Jesus says, you will see greater things. It's quite natural for me to be working these miracles. You're going to do them. And it's going to be even more amazing. So yesterday we heard the story of Peter and John walking through the temple, and they see the man who's now begging for food, begging for money, needing help. And Peter and John go, look at us. We're poor too, guy. We're no better off than you. But we have the name of Jesus. So in his name, stand up and walk. And if you've read the Gospel of Luke, that's a direct parallel to something that also happens in the Gospel of Matthew. Mark, Jesus finds an invalid, a man who's crippled, and then says, stand up and walk. Now, Jesus doesn't say in Jesus' name. He just says, stand up and walk. But Peter and John say, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. And he gets up. And then you see this very same mission being passed on into the life of the church. That the apostles now have this mission of healing, transforming creation, and restoring it. But as I said yesterday, at the very end of the Mass, healing is not the end game. It's an attempt to get our attention. Because, of course, it's much more likely that we're going to listen to a holy man if he works miracles. It takes a lot longer to be able to find, over generations of generations of generations, the hidden sanctity that is often in our midst. Because saints like to hide. They don't like attention. They don't like power. They mistrust it, terrifies them, scares them. And yet, this is what God is giving to us. We are playing with the big boys and girls now. This isn't something small. God is giving humanity the divine power. And it's not magic tricks. It's forgiveness. It's this transformation from within that we truly, truly need. For what is truly more broken in the world? A man with shattered legs or a man with a shattered heart? We know exactly what we need. But here's something else. When Jesus goes to his disciples, he proves the witness of his Father by saying, look. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. The same man who suffered is the man who stands before you. Christian witness is thoroughly ineffective if we do not own our own poverty. And Peter and John should say what we are always saying. Look at us. We're not smarter than other people. We're not better than other people. We're not more moral than the rest of the world. We don't have more money. Our resources are somewhat sparse and thin. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, be healed.